Well, I heard a comment actually just a couple weeks ago. I was talking to somebody who claimed to be a Christian, who claimed to follow God, who claimed to worship Jesus, as we've been singing about this morning. And he made a very interesting comment that is actually very much in the spirit of the day. And basically what he said was that I can be close to God and worship God, but not go to church and not be close to other people. Basically is what he said. The mindset that he was reflecting is very common today, that there is no relationship in most Christians' mind today between how close you are to God and how you treat other people. It's just like those two things are separated in the minds of many believers. It's been captured in a phrase that's actually, I think they wrote, there might even be a book by this title, but it basically goes like this: love Jesus, hate the church. And that's where a lot of people are at. As long as you're talking about the vertical, the thing with God, yeah, I believe in God and I can worship God and I'm going to follow God. But that's a very, very extremely private and personal thing just between me and God, and nobody else has anything to say about it. It isn't anybody else's business. And I just want you to know that that is absolutely foreign to the New Testament. It's not the way God designed it. A few weeks ago, we started a little study of John chapter 15, in which Jesus is at the very end of his ministry. He's given his final thoughts to his disciples just before he goes to the cross. And he gives them a little word picture that is actually going to serve them and us, the church, with kind of the, what I would say is the core of what it's all about. If there's certain passages of Scripture that you can turn to, and they really help guide you into, okay, remind me again, God, what is this all about? What is the purpose of my life? What is the purpose of my relationship with you? What is it that I can hone in on that will help me to live and understand what the whole point of this Christianity thing is all about? And in John 15, he gives us a beautiful little word picture, a little illustration that speaks to what it is that God is up to and what he wants for us. And so we started a few weeks ago in John 15, and I'm going to review just the first part of it, and then we'll move into the rest of the passage. So John 15, and I'm going to start with verses 4 and 5, where he gets to the heart of the command. He says, I am the vine, verse 4 starts with this, a command: remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So whatever remaining is, it must be pretty doggone important. He goes on in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. This is the word picture. If a man or a person remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. That's the good news. Here's the other side of the coin. Apart from me, you can do nothing, nothing, nothing. At least nothing that counts in God's mind. Nothing that counts for eternity. Nothing that counts for the kingdom. And so the command here in this beautiful passage is to remain. The old King James used the word abide. To abide in the vine. And we learned last time that the command here is really pretty simple. We can say abide, and that sounds like a big holy spiritual word. All Jesus is saying is, listen, you need to stay close to me. You need to have your life in a very real and meaningful and practical way on a daily basis. You need to have your life plugged into, connected to, vitally in union with me. That is the way I designed life to be. That is where you are going to find power. That is where you're going to find intimacy. And that is where you're going to find the strength to fulfill the purposes that God has for your life. You can't do it on your own. You were never designed to do it on your own. So we have to abide, to remain, to stay intimate with Jesus. That's the bottom line. We weren't designed as Christians to get saved, to trust in Jesus, and to get saved and become children of God, and then go off and live any way we want to live. And show up occasionally when we have an emergency and call on God for help. That is not the Christian life. We were called Christian. Becoming a Christian is like getting married. You enter into a new union with another person, and then you begin to live life with that person, and you grow together, and you spend time together, and you share life together, and hopefully you fall more and more deeply in love with each other over time. And that's what getting saved and being a child of God is all about. That's why the Bible is so full of family language. We're adopted into God's family. He becomes our Father. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. It is intimacy and closeness. But first and foremost, as this illustration points out, it is about staying close to Jesus. So last time we put the focus on, this was 2 weeks ago, we talked about abiding, staying close to Jesus. The most practical word I can give you about that, the starting point for that, is that for many of us, we have to take our prayer love, our prayer, the way that we pray, we've got to take it to a whole new level. Because for so many of us, for most of our Christian lives, prayer has been kindergarten prayers. Prayer has been superficial. Prayer has been, we have a memorized list, and without even really thinking about it anymore, we have the list of people we pray for, mom and dad and brother and sister, kids, and you know, maybe we'll pray about a specific situation that we're dealing with, you know, in a very superficial kind of way. God help so and so and help this and that. And a lot of times our prayer lists are, like God is a genie in a bottle. And we're going to God and saying, okay, God, here are the things I need you to do for me today. Here are the things you need to fix. Here are the problems you need to make better. And so, God, could you get to work on these things for me, please? It's like you're the boss and he's working for you. And even as I say it, I hope that something inside of you goes, ew, that can't be right. Because it isn't. It's time for many of us to go to the kind of praying where we bring our lives before God in prayer, whether that's corporately, but especially as you meet with God on a regular basis. And that might be right there where some of you need to start. You don't have a regular prayer life. You don't ever get alone with God just to pray to God, at least not on any kind of regularity. I mean, this is where we begin to follow Jesus. If you just want to go ahead and read through the Gospels, you see that Jesus regularly got away. He got up extra early, sometimes in the middle of the night, because he knew he had a busy day coming. But he's like, God, Father, I need to meet with you before I meet with people. I need to meet with you before I go out and serve you and do your work. And so Jesus regularly got alone and spent time, intimate time with the Father. And we need to do the same. And when we get there, when we get to that place of prayer that needs to happen on a regular basis, it's time simply to get real with God. Skip all the memorized stuff and just get real with God about what's going on in your life, what you're struggling with, and then turn the corner to what I call the prayer of surrender. We have to bring our lives before God, and essentially, and I don't care, there's no magic words to say this, but the essence of prayer needs to get to the point where we are saying, God, my life is not my own. You have purchased my life through Jesus' death on the cross, and my life now belongs to you, and I come to you for the purpose of bringing my life underneath your lordship, underneath your control. God, I realize that I have sinned against you by putting myself above you and thinking that you were there to serve me. God, I'm coming today to bring my life underneath you and to ask you, God, what are your purposes for my life? What do you have for me to learn, to grow? What areas of my life do you want to, like, carve out and get rid of, you know, impatience, anger, lust, whatever it is, gossip, bad attitude. What is it, God, you want to begin to remove from my life to make me more like Jesus? And God, what is it that you want me to do, you know, in my life? I've got this job that I go to every day. And God, how do I represent you better in the workplace? Or am I being a good witness for you just in the way that I treat other people, in the way that I do my job? Am I honoring you? God, I'm retired now. I'm in that phase of life where I have a different set of things that I'm about. But God, whatever that is, am I open to what you would have for me? Am I doing the things that you want me to do? And more importantly, am I doing them in a way that honors you? Am I putting Christ on display in my life? God, I am surrendered to you. And what Jesus is saying in this illustration is that we need to be connected to him and drawing that life that comes from him in that daily relationship. That's what's going to give us the perspective and the energy and the spiritual power to actually do those things that we're talking about in a surrendered life, in an obedient life. And that's what the Christian life looks like day to day. And so you might say a big part of the Christian life is actually a discipline. Because what I'm describing is a discipline, meaning that I don't just wake up in the morning and with no thought and no effort, I just kind of glide into prayer. I just don't do it. When I wake up in the morning, and I'll bet you're a lot like me, it takes about, for some of you, you need a cup of coffee first, but for others, you wake up and your mind is already going to the races. You got your to-do list, you got, maybe you're going through a struggle, and whatever that struggle is, that is the first thing on your mind, and anxiety and worry starts. For others, I've got a list that long that I got to get done today, and your mind immediately goes to the agenda. And so discipline is, wait a minute, God, before I get off to the races and get off with my own thing, and a lot of these things are things I know I've got to do. I got to go to work. I got to take care of kids. I got to do this or that. But God, before I jump into all of that, I need to bring my life before you, because I need to make sure that I'm operating in your energy and I'm surrendered to your will and that I'm sensitive to your leading. I might be off in the middle of my day and you may have some different thing you want me to, somebody you want me to talk to, somebody you want me to touch and bless, something you need me to do, and I just want to be sensitive. You know, we just sang about the Holy Spirit, you know, being present. Well, that's, you know, we're inviting him for this hour, but what I'm saying is that needs to be our prayer every day. Holy Spirit, go with us when we leave this place that, so we might be sensitive to what it is you have for us and lead us. So that is the first part of abiding. Abiding is here. So this is the vertical, and this is what we talked about. Just look at this side for a minute. Abiding, staying close to Jesus, is us underneath Jesus. It's loving Jesus, and it's a life of surrender to Jesus. This is the vertical part of abiding. Okay? So it's just a picture, and I'll come back to that in just a second. Jesus is saying in this illustration, I am the vine. I am the source of life. And you are the branch. And just like a branch on a tree by itself, if it's not connected to the trunk that goes down into the and draws the nutrients and the sap of life and all of that, it will never bear fruit. A broken branch on the ground, never going to bear any fresh new fruit, is it? It's broken, it's disconnected. And that's the way, frankly, some of our lives are as we sit here this morning. We're disconnected. We're like broken branches, and God isn't doing anything through us right now. Doesn't mean we're not saved. It just means we're not connected in a fellowship, relationship kind of way. Okay? But Jesus isn't done. He says there's more to abiding. That was week one. That's all that's review. That's what we talked about a couple weeks ago. We have to have this part right, connected with God. But Jesus goes on to say, and then we're going to move forward in John 15, starting in verse 9. He takes it to a different direction now. He says in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. He's just stating a fact. Now, a command. Remain in my love. Earlier, the command was, remain in me. Now he's stretching that. He's adding to that. In other words, he's saying, to remain in me is to remain in my love. They're one and the same. Verse 10. How do you do that? If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. So the key, he gets real practical. How do you remain in the love of Jesus? How do you stay close to the love of Jesus? How do you stay in where his love is at work in your life? He gets real practical. Obey my commands. You can't say that you're loving me. You can't say that you're staying in my love when you're going off doing everything that I told you not to do and you're breaking all my commands. Follow my commands. Boy, Jesus, that sounds pretty complicated. Sounds pretty hard. Goes on, verse 11, he says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Now, verse 12 is the key. My command is this. I'm going to make it real simple, Jesus says. My command is this. Love each other. Got it? Love each other. As I have loved you. Love each other. You want to stay close to Jesus. You have to obey his commands. And like he's done in other places in his word, he says, I can summarize my commands very simply. You can turn it, you legalists, you're going to turn it into a big list of rules and regulations. And you're going to think you're holy because you keep a big list of rules and regulations. And what I'm telling you is every one of my commands has to do with loving others well. Love other people. Love one another in the church. Love others that need to know Jesus. Love each other. That's how you obey my commands, which is how you remain in my love, which is how you abide in me. In 1 John, it says, somebody who says that they love God but hate their brother, hates another person, John calls them a liar. That person is a liar. If you say that you love God, which everybody can say that, those are just words coming out of our mouth, right? But he's saying your actions show different. If you hate another person, if your heart is filled with hate towards others, you cannot love God. It's an impossibility. So this is serious business. But here's where I come into a real problem. Here's where I come into a real dilemma. How can God, because this in John 15, this verse 12, this command to love others, this is actually a command. It's not a suggestion. In the Greek language, it's in the imperative tense, which is basically just a way of saying it's not a suggestion. If you feel like it. It is a command. Jesus is saying, love one another. And my dilemma is this, and I'll bet some of you have the same dilemma. How can God command me to love? Because you see, I thought that love was a feeling. I thought love was an emotion. I talk to young couples oftentimes or married couples who are in trouble sometimes, and they use language like this. Well, the younger couple who is at the beginning, they say, well, we fell in love. We just fell into it. Just happened to us. And then the other couple that sometimes I'm sitting there talking to, we don't love each other anymore. And the first couple's saying, we have these warm, fuzzy emotions for one another. And the other couple on the other end is saying, we ain't got them anymore. And so love is this feeling and this emotion that we fall into and out of. And it's kind of like the way that the world thinks about love is I either got it or I don't. But it's not under my control. So how, if that's true, how can God command us to love? If you could put John 15:12 back on the screen. I don't know what's going on behind me, so if it's up there, okay. The key is in the last phrase. As I have loved you. Love one another. That's the command. But then he gives it a qualification. As I have loved you. So Jesus is saying this right before what? What is he getting ready to do? He's getting ready to sacrifice his life on the cross. Because that just felt like the right thing to do. Because he knew if he went to the cross, it would feel really, really good. Can you tell when your pastor is being sarcastic? Yes, I hope you can. No, Jesus goes to the cross on our behalf. And according to the book of Colossians, just I'm not going to throw all these verses up there. But it says that Jesus died for us when we were his enemies. When we were in rebellion against God, Jesus died for us. When Jesus went to the cross, he had this prayer in the garden. He said, Father, I'm getting ready to do. I know what I'm facing. And if anything could make this not happen, I want this cup to pass from me. But Jesus, your will be done. Not mine. In other words, I'm going to make the choice, Jesus said, even though this is going to be painful, even though this is going to be awful going to the cross, I'm going to make the choice to love the people of the world by dying for them, even though it's going to cost me everything. It was a choice that Jesus made. Now he turns to us and he says, now you need to love one another as I have loved you. You need to turn towards other people and you need to make the choice to love them. Doesn't mean you need to have the feelings of love before you can do any action. That's actually backwards. You need to make the choice to love other people in ways that help them and minister to them. Love one another. So here's my dilemma. I'm not nearly as far on my notes as my time would tell me that I am. So I'm only going to get so far. I had some testimonies lined up. Ladies, can we do that next week? Okay. We'll get to that next week because I'm not going to get to it today. Biblical love is a choice of the will. It's not a feeling and it's not emotion. Primarily, it is a choice of the will. Where a Christian says, I'm looking at a situation, the Spirit of God maybe is convicting me about something I need to do, and I make the choice to act lovingly towards another person. It is a choice of the will. And that choice can only be made when we are abiding in Christ. So here is the bottom line. I need you to get this full picture before we're done today. This is my main goal. So we talked about this. This is abiding, but that's not all of abiding. And this is abiding. So we got on the second picture here, one person loving the other person. Are you making that connection? Jesus is saying, if you want to stay close to me, yes, pray and be surrendered, but also turn towards other people and love them. Choose to love them. Even when you don't feel like it, choose to love them. Ask Jesus when you pray, God, I need your strength. I need your help to choose to love other people better. I need to have your wisdom on what it looks like to love other people better. So abiding and staying close to Jesus, it's this, but it's also this. It's both. So as I finish this morning, we're going to come back and talk about this just a little bit next week. I want you to ask yourself, where do you need to work on? Where are you at in these two directions? Is it time for you to get along with God? And I think it needs to start with the vertical. I really do. I think it needs to start with, are you and I getting alone with God and praying real prayers of surrender and bringing our lives under God and telling Him that, making that choice? How have you been doing in that? I got to tell you, for me personally, it's a little bit of a roller coaster. Sometimes I'm doing really well and I get alone with God and I'm disciplined to do that. And then sometimes I get busy, or frankly, I get lazy, or I get discouraged, or I get a little bit mad at God, and I stop doing it. And as soon as I stop doing it, my relationship with God gets strained. And as soon as that happens, I stop trusting God with my life and the things going on in my life. And as soon as that happens, I stop treating other people the way I should treat other people. It's like a big bad chain reaction. We need daily dependence on God. How are you doing in your life of surrender before God, in your prayer life with God? For some of us, you're doing okay there. How are you doing in loving other people? Loving other people with the love of Christ. Choosing to put aside your own preferences and your own agenda and saying, how can I serve and love that person and what they need? We're going to come back next week and we're going to put a little more focus on what does that look like in very practical terms. Okay? So let's just pray together and we'll finish that way. Father, abiding, staying close to Jesus. This is what you saved us for. This is the secret to the Christian life. It's not just getting saved and then going out and on our own trying to do the best we can. And it's not just getting saved and then waiting for death so that we can go be with Jesus in heaven. But the Christian life is about staying close to Jesus every day. It's about bringing our lives, making that choice to surrender our lives, bringing it back under God's control, God's lordship. It's reminding ourselves that we're not alive to live our own agendas. We are alive and we are children of God for the purpose of serving God's kingdom, of spreading God's love and God's truth, of bringing our lives under God in prayer so that God can do His work in our hearts, changing us, growing us. And so my prayer for our church family is that we would be a group of people who, when we leave this place on Sundays, we would go on our own, you know, to our homes and to our places of employment and to the things that we do in life, and we would be a people of surrendered prayer. And we would be a people that would begin to grow in this process of understanding that loving other people is not a feeling and it's not an emotion first and foremost, but it is a choice of the will. And that's what allows us, God, to love other people in difficult situations, to love other people when I don't feel like loving them. I can make that choice in the strength that God provides to love others well. And that is actually the root of what Christianity is all about. And that is what a church family is based upon, a group of people that are committed to loving one another well. And so God, teach us about this life of love and teach us how to do this better in our homes, in our church, in our community, that we might abide in You and bear the fruit that You want to produce in our lives. We pray these things this morning in Christ's precious name. Amen.